So today, we're going to be looking at and discussing building up the body of Christ. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. As you know, we're continuing on our trajectory going through the book of 1 Corinthians, chapters 12, 13, and 14, the chapter we're in today. They all point to one main topic, which is spiritual what? Spiritual gifts. We're going to look at spiritual gifts a little more, but we're in chapter 14 today. We're going to start from verse 1. Please stand with me if you are able to. We're going to start up at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. We'll just read that and we'll continue on. It says, "Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy." Father in heaven, we ask for you to please open up our understanding of your holy word. Help us to learn what these things are that we're reading here and studying out of the English language. We know it's originally written in Koine Greek, translated into our tongue, into English or Espanol even, Lord. But we ask that you please would teach us what it is that you want to say to us here today for the church. Speak to us, Lord. Teach us your word of truth, Lord. Help us, God. And we also ask that you would prove yet again that you are the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Oh, Father, comfort each and every one of our hearts that are here. Thank you for your comfort. Send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Teach us about these spiritual gifts. Show us yet again how much you love us. And show us how you want us to act and be and to teach and preach within the body of Christ, your church. Help us, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You guys can have a seat if you would. I'm going to point out a quote from the famous Billy Graham. I think you guys have all heard of Billy Graham. He said this once, "Churchgoers are like coals in a fire. When they cling together, they keep the flame aglow. When they separate, they die out." So as we gather, this is a good quote to remind us, even as when Paul is writing about spiritual gifts that are individually, specifically given to you in the church, there's also a greater emphasis, and what is that? The unity of the body, not just the individual separate members. And this is something that we find over and over that God has to teach us and keep preaching to us. Doesn't matter, it seems, what book of the New Testament, we always got to look at the unity in the faith. Amen? We always have to look to that. So every chapter in the Bible, in this New Testament, that actually teaches you and I about spiritual gifts, like 1 Corinthians 12, okay, and we're continuing on now. We went to chapter 13 and now chapter 14. But 1 Corinthians 12, also Romans, what chapter is that? It speaks of the gifts. Romans 12, also Ephesians chapter 4. Those are the main chapters in the Bible. That's it. Those are the main ones about spiritual gifts. And when you see what God says about specific individual gifts, you see the greater picture that he's emphasizing. What is that? Not just the individual member in the body, but the body of Christ as a whole. So God will give certain gifts to his church. And as Jesus said, "I will build my church." So the church belongs to Jesus. Amen? Doesn't belong to me, whether it's this one or globally the church. There's no pastor, no pope, no parish that owns the church. They may own the building. They may have to pay for the building, but they don't own the church. It's bought and paid for by what? By the blood of Jesus. Someone give that girl a high five. That's good. Paid for by the blood of Jesus. So Jesus said it's his church, and he will build his church. So we find that Jesus builds his church in a way that we can gather. And Jesus didn't die for the place, it's not the building, he died for the people, amen? And he gathers us together. Why? One of the reasons why is so that we can encourage each other. And that's something that we're going to see here throughout this chapter. One of the key words actually is edify or edification. You find that over and over, so you can't miss that in chapter 14. So chapter 12 teaches there's individual specific gifts. Chapter 13, the greater gift, the way of what? Love, the way of agape. And 1 John 4 says, God is agape. God is love. And it's that love that he says But that same guy, Apostle John, he wrote in John 3, verse 16, God so loved the world. This agape love that he has, what did it cause him to do? Love is not just a word, it's also action. He acted upon his love. He loved the world. What did he do? He gave, so it's a giving love. He gave his only begotten son, Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah, the Christ. Gave him over as the sin offering for you and me. Do we deserve that? No. Do we even ask him for it? No. The Bible says while we're still in our sin, Christ Jesus died for us. So the way that Jesus builds his church is he gathers us together and he wants us to encourage each other. He wants us to build one another up. And so as I'm even titling this today, we're going to look at building up the body of Christ. I like that picture. Building up the body of Christ. So if you love Jesus, this is what Jesus wants to do. That's why he died for you. Yes, to give you salvation, to save you from the fires of hell, and after judgment day that you wouldn't be thrown into the lake of fire. But then you look at it and go, so what? Why am I here? What do I do with my time here on earth? What do I do as we collectively gather in the congregation, in the church? He wants to build his church. He even said that, right? It's written in the affirmative, in the positive. I will build my church. The church belongs to him. It's his. He will build it. So as we gather, he collectively gathers us together in the name of Christ. He wants you and I to build each other up, to encourage each other. Kind of simple, right? But we can lose our way. We can forget sometimes. So today we're going to see that Paul's going to make comparisons between two speaking spiritual gifts. Maybe you're like me. When I started studying these things, there's like 18-ish gifts in those chapters I mentioned. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 lists the gifts. Also Romans chapter 12. Ephesians chapter 4. Some would arguably say that maybe there's some gifts that are listed there in Ephesians 4. But when you enumerate them and you look at what they are, I know me, I'm analytical, so I want to analyze and I look, it's how I make decisions a lot of times. And if you go shopping and you're looking at all the stuff, what are the options, what are the variables, and you take a step back and then you make a decision. Anybody else like that? Some of us are like that. You take longer to shop, don't you? Some of us are just like, oh, that looks good, smells good. Yeah, I want it. Right price. Sale. It says it's on sale. Girl, that thing says this for 10 years. It's not on sale. So some of us are like that. You're analytical. You analyze. You look at all the options, and then you pick. So when I did that with the spiritual gifts, you exhaust scripture, like, there's not that many. And I started looking at these things and go, I don't want to speak in gifts. Anybody else like that? Come on, be honest. Okay, don't be afraid then if you're going to be like me or a guy's like, gotcha. He might nudge you out the nest. So when you look at these gifts, though, there are two of them that are listed that are actually speaking gifts. What are they? And Paul's going to lay these things out beautifully. He's going to lay out some reasons why the gift of prophecy is much greater than the gift of tongues. Both of them are speaking gifts. They're both coming to you from the Father through Jesus. You are part of the body of Christ, part of the bride of Christ, part of the church. They're gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're supernatural gifts. He supernaturally empowers, fills you, enables you, equips you with these. Two of the speaking gifts, but what are they? How do they differ? And these are some of the things that the church at Corinth was messing up on, so we got to learn from that, amen? And look at that. We don't want to point fingers, but you see that he's addressing certain things that were kind of out of order, so to speak. So he's going to lay out beautifully these reasons why the gift of prophecy is much greater than the gift of tongues. We learn that much of the reasons why that the gift of prophecy is greater is because of this one key word, again, that we see in this chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, this word edification, edify. What is that? That's the act of building each other up, just like, again, look at this picture here. This one with Jesus. Building up. Jesus wants to build his church. It's his church. He bought and paid for it by the blood of Jesus. So how does he build his church? Do we just sit back and be lazy in the Lord? God, go do it. He's like, I'm trying to, but you ain't moving. So he's going to empower you supernaturally. This is why we got to serve him. So as we do that, we have to realize this edification. Think of the edifice, right? It's this foundation. It's a building. The act of building each other up. That's edification. Not focusing on the building itself, but we focus on Jesus Christ. Amen? So we see that Christ will build his church by using each of us to build each other up. Makes sense if you hear it that way, right? So if we think about that, that's actually what happens. Why do we need to do that? Why do we need to care? Because in the world that all of us were part of, the worldly method, the worldly way, it's not about building up someone else. It's about building up who? Point. In the world, we all have, oh, that's good. Did everybody turn around and look at each other? You guys see from my perspective. Kind of nice. In the world, we all know that, right? It's all about me. I did it my way, the song says. And Satan says, good, I got you. That's exactly what Satan wants to do. You come to Christ, you realize, you ain't going to do it your way. It's going to be doom, death, and destruction. You have to do it the way of agape, the way of love, and the way of Jesus Christ. So how do we build each other up? Because in the world, we're always tearing each other down, right? Think about that. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, think of like the soap operas. Think of like all the gossip, right? It's all tearing each other. Girl, did you see those nails? I would be caught dead with that. Oh, did you see that hair? That's the way of the world. Jesus, that's sin. Actually, Jesus died for that. And all of us can identify with that. But in God's church, we gather as a new family. We want to learn God's new ways in his word. And he's trying to teach us these things. We need to seek new scriptural solutions, amen, to our problems in life. And we don't want to just tear someone down. We need to learn to build them up. That's why as we gather as a Christian entity here, an organism, living organism more than just an organization, we are a living body. Okay, it's the body of Christ. And because we are the body of Christ, he wants to share himself in and by and with and through one another here. He wants to use you to build up others so that you and I could be healed with one another here. And then we learn, we take it home, we help heal in our own families and even your extended families, your coworkers, your neighbors and friends. But we practice here. Amen? That's what we want to do. So I'm hoping that we would have this kind of brief in the teaching time here. We can end so that we can have some time to close. I'll look over at my wife, Susan. We can close with some worship at the end. You guys might want to respond, and maybe you want to be prayed for. Maybe you could pray for each other, help build each other up. So we're a very hands-on church. Amen? Okay, and let me describe that for some of you gals get a little freaked out. Okay, so, like, hands-on, what are you talking about? Meaning that we don't want to just read, we want to also heed. Make sense? Want to apply what it says. Be a doer of the word, the book of James says. Okay, so we want to help one another here. So let's dig into this, what God says here about building up the body of Christ. Also, Mr. Jose, you're going to have to check. You guys, who here is warm? You warm? Hot? The guys are like, that's warm. The girl's like, oh, it gets cold. All right, so here it is again. Let's look at this in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Let's look at it again. It says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. So, again, we're going to look at some distinctions, some differences between these two spiritual gifts, the two speaking gifts, the gift of prophecy and the gift of tongues. And let me just point this here. We're going to start making a list. There's at least six things that we're going to point out here. Hopefully you can see this on the display. Yeah, you can. Good. So notice this here, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, as we start to unfold and unpack these six things that Paul's going to illustrate for us. Both of these words here for pursue as well as desire in verse 1, these are commands. Know that, okay? So we just learned in chapter 13, the way of agape, okay? The greater gift, so to speak, love. So even if you're like, I don't even know my gift. Okay, can you just fall in love with God, allow him to use you and through you that you would learn to love others? Oh, that's better than any gift, right? Who cares? It's good to know what they are, but pursue love. That's a command. Love is a need for every human being, amen? So someone says, no, I don't need love. Yeah, you do. You're just in denial. And we're not talking about a river in Egypt. You are in denial. You and I need love. Many of us want to just receive love. Everybody wants love, right? Who here wants love? Who wants to give love? Okay, so that's the reality. God goes a step further and commands you and I to pursue love. What love? Like he just mentioned in chapter 13, the way of agape. The second command he gives us here to start off this chapter, to kick it off, is desire. Spiritual gifts. Pursue love. You're commanded to pursue it. And you're commanded to desire spiritual gifts. So we are given a direct focus here. Look at this in chapter 14, verse 1. Desire spiritual gifts. That's a command, but especially that what? That you may prophesy. We'll get into that and unpack it. Now, Paul is going to lay out the reasons why. And that's what we're going to find here, at least the first half, so to speak, of this chapter. We're going to learn at least six key differences between the gift of prophecy and the gift of tongues. The first key difference is in the person that's speaking. The person that's speaking, oops, we'll leave it there. Person that's speaking, look at this in verse 2 and 3. Let's read this. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men. So he's laying out the reasons why. Pursue love, desire, spiritual gifts, especially that you might prophesy. Why? What are the differences? What are the distinctions? He's going to lay out six of the reasons why. The first one is who you're speaking to. He who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to who? But to God. Now, let me push pause on this first. It's important to know that if you or someone believes they have the gift of tongues, you're not speaking horizontally. Even I put arrows here. You're not speaking to someone else. You are speaking to a person, but it's vertical. It's upward to God. Amen? Therefore, someone says they're speaking a tongue, and someone else says, oh, I have an interpretation. What is that? I don't know what they said. Abba, zabba, blabba, grabba, whatever it is. Or we used to jokingly say, I rode a Honda, she rode a Honda, should have bought a Toyota. Okay? No, that might not be a gift. So someone can fake it. Right? In the world, you say, fake it to you. So you guys know that, right? Does that happen in the church? Yes, sadly. Satan's a liar. And if he can't beat it, he's going to try to join it. So be careful, because there are some that will actually put forth a tongue or a fake tongue. Someone that says, oh, I have the gift of interpretation. And they interpret it as something that's maybe an exhortation or a command that is not vertical to God, but that it's horizontal, that that person is speaking to you. And I just can't understand this. So someone else interprets it. Thus saith the Lord. God says someone here has a $1,000 seed gift offering. Come up to the front. Oh, that's me. I was just praying about what I should do with our life savings. Don't be a sucker. Okay? When I say that, in this city, that actually happens. And I've known some examples. That's that. Okay, so this might save someone's life. It might even save your life savings. Amen? And you need to learn this. Teach this to others. Because if people aren't learning all Scripture, remember for the men's overnight, we looked at all Scripture. You're not looking at all Scripture. It's easy for the false prophets to cherry pick verse out of the Bible and confuse you and sort of compel you. You think it's quoting the Bible. They're saying they're from God. They mention the name Jesus. But look what it says here. He who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. So what we're doing right now is we're unveiling the false prophets. Does that make sense? Okay, they're not going to teach you this verse. Why? Because they will out themselves as a false prophet. So when someone claims to speak a tongue, a spiritual gift, someone call it their prayer language, rightly so. They're praying to God. It's vertical, just like the arrow. They're speaking to God. So one of the distinctions or differentiations between the gift of prophecy and the gift of tongues, prophecy is speaking horizontally. You're speaking to the people. God's speaking to you and through you to the people. Tongues is that person's prayer language. They're speaking vertical to God. So if someone's going to interpret that, it's not going to be, thus saith the Lord. Maybe it would be that person's praising God or giving them prayer, those kind of things. But it's not going to be a command. It won't be an exhortation. It won't be a word to you. You could be edified if you perhaps hear it, perhaps if it's interpreted correctly. But it won't be something from God to that person, speaking to people. Okay, does that make sense? So the direction of who you're speaking to for the gift of tongues is always upward. That alone, if you come here and you're like, what do I get out of this? If that's all you get, praise God. You may have saved your spiritual life. You may have saved your life saving. Okay. If you already know that, great. Preach that to others, because I guarantee you there are many people that you know that claim to be a Christian in the greater New York area that don't even know this little verse. Okay, so please understand that. All right, continuing on. Does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Verse 3, but he who prophesies, notice he's going to outline three things that the gift of prophecy does. So some would say, oh, the gift of prophecy, that's preaching. Kind of-ish, but this is speaking more of prophetically speaking. Some will actually be gifted to give a prophecy. What will happen? He who prophesies speaks edification. We'll come back to that. And exhortation and comfort to men. So the thing about the gift of tongues is the person speaking to God, not to you. Make sense? Someone given a gift of prophecy is speaking to you, not to God. Make sense? God's not going to give that person a prophecy to prophesy back to God. Like, God already knows it. Okay? Prophecy is speaking, quote, to men, and it results in what? Edification. So this is a key word for this chapter. Know what it says. To edify. What does that mean? To edify is to build them up. Okay? In the world, we would tear people down. You come to Christ, you're like, I can't do that anymore. Anybody notice that? You change, you're transformed from inside. Like, we're just gossiping. Gossiping guy, gossiping gal in the world. You come to Christ, you're like, you're going to clean up my potty mouth. I used to be a DJ, and I came to Christ. No one had to tell me I couldn't spin those records anymore. I just started getting this great conviction. It was a weird thing. And I was one of those guys, I would take pride in it. We'd, hey, on the dance floor. Everybody'd laugh. They all request those kind of potty mouth songs. After a while, I was like, I can't do this. And those are like the only songs it seems like many people would request. I mean, like, people request those potty mouth songs. I'm not going to say them because I don't want to put those thoughts in your head. And then later on, I'd be like, I can't do it. I'm just going to spin my way. And it took a while, but I was realizing, I can't do this anymore. So Jesus saved me from that whole party lifestyle, nightlife, trashy, drugs, alcohol, all the above. So we are no longer children of the dark. Amen? Think of that. Why is it called a nightclub? I know why. Sin is done at night, right? That's why it's weird when someone wakes up and like, give me a beer. It's 8 a.m. Right. Sin is done at night, typically. All right, so edification. To edify is to build up. Also, it mentions exhortation. Exhortation. That can also be seen as encouragement. Some of you might have a gifting for encouragement, and it may come out or want to manifest out of your heart and life from the throne of God, the Father, through Jesus, the Son, empowered by the Spirit. He may have equipped some of you where, I want to edify, I want to encourage someone here. So even as you read this or you're hearing this, the Spirit of God might well up within you. It's like, yeah, that's what I've given you. Just take a step of faith and encourage someone else. So exhortation, that could also be speaking of encouragement. Sometimes there's also a warning with it, right? Just like the Old Testament prophets. Remember the time of Samuel? In the Old Testament time, this is before he picked David. He would go into a certain area. They're like, oh, dude, are you here for peace? Why? Because they were known at the time, the seers, the prophets, they would come to an area, they would prophesy doom, death, and destruction. Like, uh-oh, are we just bad kids? Is God going to spank us? Are you going to destroy this like Sodom and Gomorrah? No, I'm not here to do that. Okay, so that's why it's kind of weird when you're reading about that. But the prophets in the Old Testament, they many times would prophesy that doom, death, and destruction. But they would also be there to exhort. They would be there to warn. Hey, turn from your wicked ways, turn back to God. That's what the Old Testament prophets did. There's also an admonishment. To admonish means to warn of a fault. Okay, so there might be that element. Maybe someone here is given the gift of prophecy. Some people get visions. I wish that was me. I prayed and I asked. Doesn't happen to me. I don't know. Maybe it's not given to me. Some people get dreams. I know my wife sometimes gets those dreams. Everybody dreams, right? We know that's got to happen. It helps refresh your mind. Some are given a dream by God. Oh, that's just Old Testament. That's the time of Daniel. That's the time of Joseph. No, that happens today. And it's prophesied about these end times. Some get those. And with those dreams, sometimes God is given a future vision. I wish I would get those. I just don't. Now, I'm one. I look at what happened in the Old Testament time where you had kings, you had leaders, and many times God would keep them accountable by also having a prophet by their side, right? You study the historical books, you had kings and prophets. In a similar way, not the exact way, but in a similar way, I find that's very common in church leadership today, where you got those in spiritual leadership, and you have others that are given prophecy. I'm like, I'd rather just be given that part, you know. But so sometimes that'll happen, and even pastoral marriages and families. Chuck Smith Sr. used to mention about that. His wife was given these kind of things. That happens with my wife. I'm like, give them to me. I'm right here. You can speak to me. So many times, wives, many times, or maybe sometimes, maybe us husbands, we're not listening. God's like, I'm trying. Let me just give this word to your wife or someone else. But sometimes that I find that'll happen. He's going to speak the choral effect. It also keeps us accountable. So can he give a prophecy? Yes. So you're going to find that these prophecies, look again in verse 3, they'll speak edification. That'll be to build up the body of Christ. Is Jesus wanting to build his church? There'll be an exhortation sometimes. That could be an encouragement. It also could be a warning and comfort to men. The word comfort, this particular word, this one's neat. It's only found in the Bible, only here. Only in the New Testament, only in this book, only in this verse. This word is found nowhere else in the entire Bible. Here's what Thayer's Dictionary defines of this word translated as comfort in your Bible. Quote, any address, whether made for the purpose of persuading or of arousing and stimulating or of calming and consoling. Calming and consoling. So the gift of prophecy can also be given to you, and through you, God is wanting to comfort other people. I can identify with that. I find that he uses that. That may be a gift of prophecy, and maybe just gift of mercy or other gifts packaged up. And as we describe these things, I need to do, like it says in Nehemiah 8, read distinctly from the word, give a sense of what it's saying, so help to interpret what it's saying. And the Spirit of God might be welling up within you, telling your spirit, maybe that's a gift you're given. If so, praise God. But the ultimate thing about the gift of prophecy is what? Edification. And that's one of Paul's points. You'll see, again, just like Jesus wants to build his church, he's going to build up the body of Christ. In the world, we were tearing down ourselves too, right? But tearing down other people, ourselves. Amen? All of us like that? Who here was like that? That was totally me. Destroying every relationship. There's a couple of people that can admit it. We're all tearing down other things, other people, and ourselves. You come to Christ, you're part of a new family. And he wants to use you to no longer tear down, but to build up. Make sense? And we need to do these things with his agape love. All right, let's continue on. What's the second key difference is who is edified? Who is edified? Let's read this in verse 4. He who speaks in a tongue edifies who? Himself. Okay? Edify means to build up. So maybe someone here is given the gift of tongues. Some also call it your prayer language. You can build up yourself. You're not going to build up the bride of Christ. So is Jesus going to want someone to use the gift of tongues to build up the church? No. He who speaks in a tongue edifies or builds up himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. So one of the key distinctions or differences between the gift of tongues and the gift of prophecy, tongues edify self. We might say it's the only selfish gift. That kind of sounds weird, right? It's the only selfish gift, spiritually speaking, and it's the lesser gift, the least gift. And the Corinthian church was being so bad with it, they're like, hey, let me boast. Abba blabba grabba zabba. They're just like boasting out loud. And Paul's like, you need to pursue love. Desire spiritual gifts, but not tongues. Desire that you would prophesy. So who gets edified if you're exercising the gift of tongues? You're building up yourself. Great. Go pray. Pray in your prayer closet. Okay? That's why even our statement of faith, we mentioned, yes, we believe in the gifts, but when God is speaking through the pulpit here as we're teaching, expositing his word, The Holy Spirit will not interrupt himself. Amen? So some people may have come from a different background. They want to stand up and abba zabba blabba grabba or whatever. It's like, no, but it's a gift. God gave it to me. I need to exercise in church. No, the Holy Spirit will not interrupt himself. Pretty simple to see. Okay, so the gift of tongues is valid. It's something I believe that God has given me. Praise God. It's interesting, too. When I came here, it was excruciatingly painful. Excruciatingly painful 23 years ago. I'm like, God, I need this gift so I can pray to you. There's times of spiritual warfare. It's just so intense, so heavy. And I prayed, fasted and prayed. I'm like, that's not fair. Nothing. And then just one day, it seemed like he just powered through. Like, oh, that's interesting. So I don't know how it occurred or when it happened. Some would say when you get saved, you get all the gifts. I don't find that true. Because even Paul says, does everybody teach? Is everybody given this gift or that gift? No. Can I get it maybe earlier and maybe it's going to exemplify later? Perhaps. For me, it was post-New York. Is it only on the East Coast then? I don't know. Okay, how does God do it? It's according to him. Okay, but he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. He who prophesies edifies or builds up the church. Jesus wants to build his church. Amen? Can he use you to build his church? That's why you're here. That's why I'm here. So the gift of prophecy edifies and builds up the church. That's greater. So the third key difference between these two gifts, the gift of tongues and the gift of prophecy, is how they differ in terms of importance. You see, the Corinthian church and this book of Corinth or 1 Corinthians, it's a corrective book. If you're reading this, it's like, I'm going to correct this. You're doing this wrong. Here's how you do it right. It's the way of love, chapter 13. And don't focus just on tongues. That's the lesser gift. Focus on prophecy. Okay. So the importance is different here. There's a distinction. Look at this in verse 5 and 6. I wish you all spoke with tongues. Now notice how he says it. Does everybody be given the gift of tongues? No. Paul would not have said it in the affirmative that way. He would have said, look, y'all are given the gift of tongues when you got saved. He does not ever say that, right? Don't let someone lie to you. There's denominations that will say, if you don't manifest the gift of tongues, and I know some of it's a very large denomination. I had a friend that was defrocked in his pastoral ministry. Why? He was supposedly brought before a board of elders. Now, show us the gift of tongues. And here's his response. I love him for this. Because he knew the Bible. It's like, that's not biblical. I'm not supposed to go into my prayer closet. And you're wanting me to boast about it? No. Paul wrote Corinthians, like, that's wrong. And so as a result, they defrocked him. And then he came to Calvary Chapel. It's like, welcome home. Okay? So their denominations, large, millions and millions of people in these denominations that'll say, if you do not exemplify the spiritual gift of tongues out loud, publicly, then there's no proof that you're saved or that you're filled and empowered. It's like, where's that in the Bible? It's not. Don't let anybody lie to you. All right, so he says, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you, what? Prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater. So we're talking about which one is more important. Tongues is a lesser gift. The gift of prophecy is greater. I didn't write that. God did through the Apostle Paul's pen. He who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues. Interprets that the church may receive what? Again, edification. That the church would be built up. All right, so we have this passage that mentions about two gifts here. There are a gift of tongues, and there's also a gift of interpretation. Some would say that maybe there's people out there that are given the gift of tongues and interpretation. Myself, I'm not. So when I do hear someone validly, authentically, give a tongue, I'm not sitting there, understanding interpretation. For those that are given the gift of interpretation of tongues that I've heard them describe, they'll somewhat say it like this, that as someone is speaking a tongue, it's as if they hear like an ongoing interpretation. Like they know exactly what that person's saying. Like, that's weird, but I want that. And I'm not given that gift. So according to this, it seems like some people may be given both the gift and the interpretation of tongues. I haven't met any. Can that happen? Potentially, because it's here. So he says again in verse 5, he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. Be forewarned, though, if there's a one single individual human being that says they're given the gift of tongues, and that same one individual human being says, I'm also going to give you the interpretation, be warned. Why? You could be lied to. Amen? Okay, so just be careful. I like how God uses the choral effect, the plurality, okay, for the safety there. Verse 6, let's continue on. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? All right, let's go to the fourth thing. We'll come back to verse 6 later on. The fourth key difference is how the church has an understanding of them. Let's look at this in verse 7. Even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? So let's say me and Brandon were up here playing guitars, and our guitars are like, the strings are totally out of tune, and we're just like, bah, 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 bah. That's like when I first started learning guitar. I didn't know how to make a chord. I didn't, what's a string? I didn't know that. Just blah, 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 blah. You would sit there and go, God says it. That's cute. It's a future musician. So we can make a noise. God says make a joyful noise, though. Amen? Okay, so there's something to the ear and the human brain that God made. We love melody. We love nice sounding sounds. But if I just grab an instrument and I'm the blam, blam, whatever it is I'm doing, that's not going to sound pleasant. So even without life, or even things without life, whether flute or harp. So he's saying even an instrument, not a human being that has life, even an instrument, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction of sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So you can imagine, you might even see like the old, you know, Wild West kind of movies. You know, the horn, the trumpet, and that's like a battle cry for war, right? So if someone's just doing that, and the trumpeter's like, I just got brought into this company yesterday. Like, okay, you're going to be the horn player. And it's all, so everybody else is going to go, what was that? Should we march out? Or is he practicing? So you got to make a distinct sound. So likewise you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. Someone else will be like, ah, okay, you're talking to God, I think. You're just talking into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Verse 12 says, even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts. So he's writing to the Corinthian church. They were zealous. That's good. But remember, pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, but not tongues, especially that you may prophesy. That's how it opens up the chapter. Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the, notice again, what's the purpose of it? Edification of the church that you seek to excel. Here's one of the purposes or reasons why God gives spiritual gifts is to edify the church, to build up the church in love. Okay? And that's what we need. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. So for someone that's actually given a gift of tongues, you'll be praying to God. It's vertical, not horizontal out to the people. Do you know what you're saying? For the most part, no. Yeah, and you can go on praying for a long time. Okay? You know what I'm talking about when you go and you take your prayer list into prayer. You're like, I hear people praying throughout the whole night. It's hard to go 3 minutes. I got my list done. What do I do? He said, watch and pray. I check my watch, and I pray. I check my watch again. It's only been 20 seconds. That's not watch and pray, like Jesus said, right? Pray, my encouragement to you then, pray that God might give you the gift of tongues. So I've always heard it that way. Like people can pray for like half hour, pray for hours even. Oh, I want that, God. So you're encouraged to those things. Anyhow, let's continue on. Verse 15, what is in conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. So you're not going to understand what you're praying if you're praying in tongues. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Now, can you have a singing type of giftedness to sing out with this gift of tongues? Yes, you can. Do you know what you're even saying or singing? No. And it's not out to the people, it's up vertical to God. Kind of neat to think of. Verse 16, otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say, Amen, at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not, again, edified. So here's that key word again, edified, built up. So one of the key differences between the gift of tongues and the gift of prophecy is understanding. So if someone's praying or exercising this gift of tongues, who understands? Really no one, unless you understand that language. There are earthly languages and angelic languages. So what gift have you been given, or what language? You don't know. Others that hear it, it'll sound foreign. I put this here on our list. It's also unfruitful, and we'll get to this later on. It's like being a child. In your understanding, prophecy is given, you'll be given to understand, as long as you understand the language. So in this church, from this pulpit, much of it's in English. At times it might be in Espanol, perhaps. Okay? If we're in Greece, it'll be in Greek. And then we could read and study the Bible in Greek. Other places, it'll be in different languages, perhaps. But in this local church, it'll be in English, typically. Okay, so as you're praying, it'll be foreign to those that are hearing. But if you're prophesying, and God's called you to prophesy here, it will be so that others can understand, and there's a maturity to it. Let's just continue on. The fifth key difference here, this goes back to verse 6, is who does it profit? Does it profit the church? Now, when I say profit, two things here. I'm not talking about P-R-O-F-I-T. I'm not saying monetarily, materially, does it profit the church, like money-wise. That's not what I'm getting at all. And that's not what Paul's writing about here. And it's not profiting, P-R-O-P-H-E-T, not that kind of profit, like prophesying. Does it profit? Is it advantageous? Who profits? Does it profit the church when someone is speaking in tongues? According to verse 6, no, it's unprofitable. So think about that. You want to serve God. You want to build up and edify the church. Don't pray that you get the gift of tongues. Use that at home. Pray that you got the gift of prophecy or teaching or exhortation, a speaking gift, or maybe the gift of mercy. You could pray for people, gift of whatever. There's tons of gifts. Pray for the other gifts, but the gift of tongues does not profit the church. It's unprofitable. However, the gift of prophecy is profitable to the church. You can look at verse 6. Also, you could check in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, which we already passed some weeks ago. All right, so let's continue on. And this is the last one, the sixth and last. You're probably, we got to the list. You made it. Praise God. Okay, so the sixth distinction or difference between these two that Paul's giving. I just put it here because maybe if you're like me, you're analytical. Does this help anybody? It's good for me to know. I'm analytical. As I read, I'm like, I'll see these kind of things. I start to put it in categories. I see something like this. I'm like, oh, that's what you're getting. I'm like, Paul, why don't you just give me a chart? Well, they didn't write in a chart. Okay. We got stuff like this today. So the gift of tongues does not teach. The gift of prophecy does teach others. Let's read on. Verse 18. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Did the Apostle Paul speak with tongues? Was he gifted that way? Yes. He says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than y'all. If you're from the South, you say, y'all. Yet in the church, I would rather speak five words. Five words. Think about that. Cinco. Five words. With my understanding that I may, what? Teach others. Also. Then 10,000 words in a tongue. Think about that. How long would that take to speak 10,000 words in a tongue? Five words, he'd rather say with his understanding that he could teach others. So there's a teaching element to prophecy. I'm going to say it again. There's a teaching element with prophecy, but not with tongues. Brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips I will speak to this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me. He's bringing down an Old Testament prophecy that's there. Says the Lord. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you're out of your mind? We'll come back to that. But if all prophesy, and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all, he is convicted by all, and thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. When I was younger, I remember being invited to a Bible study. It was in someone's house, and I was a kid. I can't remember how old I was. Maybe a teenager, maybe young 20s, perhaps. Many years ago. I'm 56 now. And I remember we sat down in someone's living room on the couches, and then the leader goes, it was like maybe 5 or 8 of us, not very many people. And the leader goes, okay, it's time to pray. Everybody close their Bibles. I'm like, it's my first time there in this group. And then all of a sudden they started praying, and then every single person started praying out loud in tongues. And I was a kid, right? I knew nothing of like the Bible or Jesus Christ. I barely learned anything. So as it says here in verse 23, will they not say that you're out of your mind? I know what that's like because I was sitting there going, what is going on here? Anybody been in those environments? It is kind of cuckoo crazy, right? So according to this, and from my own experience even, I now know what that is. Now knowing way more about the Word, knowing the Bible, reading the Bible, and knowing God now, I didn't even know if I was saved then, but I was like, what is that? So guess how many times I went to the Bible study? Once! Right? I think they knew. They're like, he's not praying in tongues. They probably should have witnessed to me to let me know, hey, are you a sinner? Christ Jesus your Savior, died for your sins. Maybe they just didn't know. I don't know. But I did think that was cuckoo crazy for Cocoa Puffs. That was weird. That was just me. All right. Let's go ahead and close. We're going to close with a word of prayer. Susan, guys, can we get set up for a time of worship? Some of you might want prayer. Maybe you want prayer that God would anoint you with the gift of prophecy or with one of these other gifts we've been looking at. Again, what we want to do is take you through the Word so that you would know all Scripture. Amen? We looked at that as men. You and I need to be men of God that we would have all Scripture, that we would be devoted to all Scripture so that when you get to chapter 4, what Paul says, he says, preach the what? The Word. Now, if you understand the context of what he's getting at as Paul's writing to Timothy, what's the Word? He's saying, preach all Scripture, Timothy. For the time will come when they're not going to be preaching the Word. They're not going to preach all Scripture, but people are going to be preaching to what? Tickling ears, itching ears. Ladies and gentlemen, that time's already been passed. We're now deeply in that where it's really hard to find churches that teach and preach all Scripture. And what happens, even these passages you and I just saw, in this little Bible study today, thank you for the grace. You made it through. Just this little Bible study today, looking at these verses, that might save your spiritual life. That will definitely save your money. But if a false prophet says, okay, you know, given a tongue, and someone comes up and interprets it, and a bunch of people rush forward in that fake church to give their money because they think God is speaking to them. Save your money, okay? God's trying to warn you and I. And he wants us to use these gifts, whether you've been given the gift of tongues or the gift of prophecy or teaching or encouragement, the gift of mercy. He wants you and I to build each other up, amen? And to follow upon chapter 13, the way of agape, the better gift. I don't have a gift. Can you receive God's love and love one another? Great. You're doing better than most of us. So let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. If you want prayer, though, perhaps for these spiritual gifts or something else, we don't want anybody leaving here and thinking, oh, man, I wanted this Father of Mercy, this God of all comfort to pray for me, to embrace me with his love through the body of Christ. Remember, we're wanting to build each other up. We are a very hands-on church, meaning that we don't want to just read it, we want to heed it. Amen? We don't want to just be a hearer of the Word. We want to be a doer of God's Word. So we didn't go to church. Amen? You are the church. Jesus will build his church, and he wants to build us up to encourage, to lift up one another. Amen? So if you want prayer, I'm going to ask you to simply stand where you are. You don't have to come forward. The body of Christ will just unleash you. to pray for each other. Some of you are called to pray. Some of you I know specifically you're asking that you would be encouraged to pray for others here. So please just do that. Okay? If you want prayer, simply stand where you are and let the Lord through the body of Christ encourage you and build you up. We're going to go ahead and pray, and then we'll continue to worship. And if you see someone standing that needs prayer, just stand next to them. They don't have to tell you the whole life story. Just tell them how they could pray for you. And let's just do that. Father in heaven, we thank you. Thank you for this time. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your holy word. Lord, thank you that we can go through your word and we see the context of the text. We're not just cherry-picking verses and pulling them out of context. We don't want anybody quoting us out of context. And certainly, we never want to do that with you, Lord. And so we simply want to expose what you have already said. We might call that expositional teaching or expositional preaching. We're just telling people what you have said. And with that word of truth, there'll be clarity. There'll be healing. We're going to set the captives free. And Jesus, we thank you that you came to heal the brokenhearted. Father in heaven, as you've saved us through the blood of your son, Jesus, our Savior, who died, was buried, and resurrected, you've given us gifts. We ask that you please would encourage us to take steps of faith, even here and now. Help us, Lord, to simply love one another, to walk out this way of agape, the agape love that you've given us, that we can build up one another. Help us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.